Hello and welcome to Pumped, the inside podcast by Schwalbe. I'm your host Tobias Vogon, and I'm talking here with Schwalbe athletes from the different disciplines, from downhill to cross country, or from triathlon to road racing. And today I'm talking to Thomas Genon, one of the best freeriders in the business. In this podcast, we talked about the fact that he got invited super late and had to build his digging team just in time to show up in Utah. And we talked about the feelings he got when he finished his second run at Rapper Rampage. Hey Thomas, thank you so much for taking the time to do the podcast with us. Where are you right now?
I am at home in south of France. I actually just came back 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. Coming back from Utah.
Yeah, so you're just back from this quite long North America trip, right? You've been in Canada and then you traveled to Utah. Was it the last long trip for you this season, or something coming up soon?
We got some stuff that I'm not sure if I'm gonna go or not, but it looked like for this season it's gonna be the last long road trip, and it was actually the first one. You know, we didn't go to New Zealand earlier in the year, so yeah, that was the big trip of the year.
And how was it for you after, yeah, almost 2 years of not traveling long distance and not traveling for a long period? So was it good? You're still used to traveling, or was it like you traveled the first time in your life?
Well, it's a little bit of a mix of both. I was very excited to be back, you know, just seeing some different stuff, seeing some different weather, and you know, just have quite of a normal bike rider's life for a little bit. But obviously it's not how it used to be with traveling. It's just so much harder now. There's so much stuff that can go against your trip and that you have to deal with. So it's a little different now.
Yeah, okay. So you're on the, yeah, almost on the end of a full season. How was this special 2021 season for you?
Yeah, this season was really different than all others that I did in the past five seasons, I would say, because I felt like the past few seasons were really looking alike, with Slopestyle Warrior and Rampage at the end of the year. Without counting the COVID year, obviously, but I was more or less doing the same events. Mm-hmm. The course were looking the same. And I would say this year was very different. I did different video project. I did two of the fest series, which was like really the best time of the year. And then I did Hardline, which was really challenging for me. I had also still a few Slopestyle contests that I was stoked to go on. And then I had to finish this year off with Rampage. So it was really different. I would say a lot more big bike riding this summer than I used to.
Yeah. And was it the plan in the beginning of the year to do it this way, or did it just happen because not all the events could take place?
Well, I don't really know. I don't think I have really planned to do all of this. Obviously, there were some some challenges with slopestyle contest that was hard to happen. Some of them that I didn't really want to go neither, and other stuff that I had the opportunity to go and try, mm-hmm. Which are all those stuff like really different than I what I do usually. So no, it wasn't really planned. It was just more going with the flow and trying to challenge myself on different ways.
Yeah, and you liked it?
I really liked it. I have to say, in the last few years, that was the most fun year I had so far. I wouldn't say it was the easiest, for sure. It was scary, but it was really cool.
Yeah. Okay. So, as you already said, you're actually coming from slope style and having the slope style background. Why do you take part of races like the Hardline, which is probably one of the hardest downhill races of all time?
Well, good question. I don't even know, actually, because when it says race, I don't know. But honestly, I like the challenge, because I am a slopestyle rider, but I always did downhill riding a lot. Probably more in the last 3 years than I ever did before. But yeah, when Hardline was there, I was just stoked to be there, stoked to be invited and see something different. And I thought it was gonna be really good for my bike skills, you know, just trying to improve the bike skills in general.
Yeah. Do you think it's also a little bit of a training for Rampage to do Hardline?
Yeah, totally. I think in with the bike skills that are required at Hardline, it is probably my weak point on a big bike. You know what I mean? Like trying to go fast, trying to keep the flow going, trying to do like really hard, rocky, technical section. And the fact that it's on a race run, it has to be very consistent. So I think it's totally what I needed to be getting a little better and trying to take it to a better level of my bike skills.
So comparing your Red Bull Rampage run from this year to some of the past, I have the feeling that you see that you're way better in technical riding these days than you have been before, because especially on the top of your Rampage run, you have been super fast, throwing dust around, and it looks really, really technical. So which shows that you're right. So you improved your technical riding a lot.
Yeah, I think that was something that I always wanted to get better at. Not that I was bad, but I felt like obviously when you have something like Rampage, it's really required to be like as good as you can be in every aspect of bike riding, and I think I really needed to focus on this one a little more.
So you were only at the list of a replacement rider at Rampage this year, but then you slipped in. But why weren't you qualified directly?
That's a question that I wonder still at the moment. But I don't know. I think they wanted to see some new faces at Rampage, and they judged that I wasn't really, how to say, they maybe wanted to see somebody else instead of my face there. So I kind of just had to accept it.
Okay, but then you slipped in and you've been already on this Canada trip doing Crankworx, and then you get a phone call and they told you you're in the Rampage.
Yeah.
So when did they call?
I knew I was the first alternate, so anyone that would drop out of the list, they would come to me first. So when I accepted a long time ago in the season that I wasn't gonna be able to ride Rampage, but I still kept in mind that leaving to Canada, if anything last minute happened, I will take my DH bike with me, and at least I will not regret it, you know. And I did good because when I was in Canada, maybe right after slopestyle practice, in one of the days of the week, I had the call from the organizer, Todd Barber, saying that I was in because Brandon Fairclough pulled out. Which was really unfortunate because Brandon is one of my favorite to watch at Rampage. But and one of the nicest guy, actually. So I think, yeah, I was obviously bummed for him because I know how much it means for a rider like us to be riding Rampage. But yeah, I had my bike and I was ready for the thing. I rode a lot this summer, so I wasn't too stressed about that.
Okay, but Rampage always involves a lot of building your line and a lot of work before the event, and normally you take a whole team with you, and this time it was different because you had to find a team pretty quick. So how did you get your helpers together in such short notice?
Dude, it was crazy because, as you say, I had planned nothing because I was like, okay, I take my bike, we never know, but I have not planned the place to stay, I have not planned my to buy my plane tickets, I have not planned my diggers and anything. Yeah. So at first I needed to figure out how to get to the US because, you know, with COVID, you need some letters to get into the country, you don't really get in like this. So, so yeah, the organizing had a letter for me for all the alternates ready. So that was fine. And then I bought my plane tickets, so that I was second, so I knew how to get there. And then I needed to find diggers, and there, like, that was a big one. And fortunately, I found two guys from the US already because I couldn't bring anyone from Europe or anywhere else because you needed to previously ask the organizing to prepare a letter for you, so only US guy was away for me. And yeah, it works out good. Two amazing guys showed up to help me out. And yeah, the last thing is I kind of reach out to my good friend Vinny T and his shaper Louis Rebaud, and I ended up being able to sleep in their garage of the house they were renting. They had a sofa there, so I slept in the garage for the Rampage time. But you know, it's super hard out there to find a place. Last minute like this, so Vinity sort me out, two diggers with some friends connections helped me out with that, and they showed up, they were amazing. And yeah, I flew straight from Canada, and right after the slopestyle contest I arrived there, and the next day it was building already.
Yeah, that sounds like a really crazy and exhausting trip.
Yeah, for sure. Especially because in Canada it was like freezing cold. Like it was actually like below zero for some of our practice, and in Utah where it's cold at night, but during the day it's t-shirt time almost. It's almost too hot to wear clothes, you know. And it was a crazy, in between one day to another, I was from a slopestyle bike to a DH bike, from a tree jacket to a t-shirt, and from I don't know, slopestyle riding to digging for 1 week.
Yeah, so that sounds crazy. Yeah, it looks like that there are less and less slopestyle riders at the Rampage. I mean, years before it looks like a lot of guys from the Freeride World Tour showed up at Rampage, but now it's just you and I think Brandon, who have this slopestyle background. Why is it like this, like that?
Insanely good question, actually, because that's actually my main topic right now. If you, the main thing that I'm thinking about. It used to be that slopestyle was not that standard nitro circus best trick stuff, because right now slopestyle is really standard jumps, so as easy to trick as possible, so you can see the biggest trick as possible. And it used to be when it was the time of Kamzing, Kamakor, Semenak, Reader, and myself, maybe in the last few years, it was almost a little bit of a free ride event when you think about it, because you needed to have a lot more bike skills, and obviously the tricks on those jumps were not going to be like the craziest combos, because it was kind of hard to clear the course and kind of hard to trick. And the way they did it now in slopestyle is that everything became so much easier to ride and to trick, so we could see the biggest bangers out there. So it's very hard to be creative and to actually show your bike skills in there. Like a guy like Semenak or Reader or Kamzing have all the bike skills in the world plus tricks, and that made great slopestyle rider back then. But right now you cannot really use your bike skills in slopestyle, because I would say that what you really need to be right now is a really a best trick guy for slopestyle. You need to have the twister, and you need to have the double flips, you need to have the big rotation, all the bar spin combos. So I would say most of your bike skills are trained on an airbag and a trick jump. And compared to a few years ago where I think those riders were way less good in tricks, but were better, way better in bike skills.
So you mean the new generation of the slopestyle guy is just not able to ride the Rampage?
It goes one way and another. I think the new generation is really focused on that tricks difficulty, difficulty, and the older generation, which I can also put myself into that, maybe Semenak and a lot of other riders that I know are not as good in tricks than the young guys right now.
Yeah.
So it goes one way and another. I think it's hard because right now the tricks level went up, but I would say to have this all the tricks in your bags, then you need to train for that. So you put aside the bike riding in general.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think it goes one way and another.
Yeah. Okay. Bringing down one run at Rampage is already very good, and you even managed to have two super clean runs, and the second one was already, you improved a lot in the second one. So what goes through your head when you go through the finish arch the second time and you're done with Rampage?
Yeah, it is crazy, because Rampage, you spend most of your days off your bike, building a line, wondering if your line is gonna work and flow good, and if your tricks are gonna be fine. And for myself, it was like quite a long time I haven't tricked my DH bike, because I was on my slopestyle bike. So on top of that, here you a little bit like, okay, there's a lot of how to say it, stuff that you don't know. Stuff that you don't know if it's actually gonna work. If there's a lot of stuff that you don't know, and I think a guy like Cam Zink, who has like really big stuff in your line, you really scared for your life. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I am totally stressed up there because you don't want to crash. There you can see riders going ahead of you and have gnarly crashes on small stuff off the line. And yeah, when you get at the bottom, it's a crazy feeling. You actually really, I think it's the best feeling you can get, and a reward feeling. It's the best one you can get. It's at Rampage.
Yeah. Okay. So first run is always a little bit safer, and the second one you can risk a little bit more. But which one is mentally more difficult?
Actually, I don't know, because before the first run, you're like, wow, I really hope this run can work so I can feel a little bit relief for the second run. But then when the second run is there, it's a mixed feeling of, should I really do this? Is this one gonna work? Is it not too much to plan? Is it enough to get better? There's a lot more question coming into the second run, where in the first run you're like, okay, I actually have to do this exactly how I plan to do it. So how to say, you have a lot less question going into your head for the first run.
Mm-hmm.
But probably there's a lot more that you don't know, you know, like at least for the second run, you already can base yourself on what you did for the first run. So different feelings.
Okay. So you finished 7th this year. Are you happy with your result?
I'm really happy on my bike riding there. That's the number one thing I can say, is that I'm really proud of how I rode. I think it's the best, my best riding out there. But then the result is really subjective.
Mm-hmm.
Someone, actually, it was the first time of my life that I received hundreds of messages saying that I should have placed higher.
Mm-hmm.
And I did really appreciate every single one of them, and I did really appreciate that people like my run. But then it's a judge event, so yeah, obviously I would maybe see myself on a better ranking, but I'm not a judge, so this is not really my part.
Okay. So with 7th this year, you should be qualified directly for next year, I think, because isn't it that the first 10 riders from this year will be directly qualified for next year? Do you want to participate again?
Sure. I think Rampage is my favorite event right now, so I'd be super happy and stoked to be going into another one.
Okay, cool. So now you have a couple of months off season in front of you. Do you have any goals for the off season or any big plans?
I have. I will start working on a video in my backyard on my slopestyle bike. There's not much more to say, but I think it's something really important to me, and there's gonna be a lot of building going in there and a lot of training for that. So I think this is most likely gonna take my whole winter.
Okay, so that sounds pretty interesting. So I can't wait to see what you have planned and what you're working on.
Yeah. I'm really excited to be starting this project.
Yeah. Cool. Tommy, thanks a lot for your time and for the little update. So I wish you all the best for the off season, and we definitely will talk again.
Amazing. Thank you, man, for having me.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.